Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome to 101.9 High FM. It is nearly 10 minutes past 12. Thanks to you so much for joining us. So many people out there are small business owners. So many people are really trying to do the best they can to build a business by providing absolutely brilliant service. But what they'd find is that it gets to a point where price is really what it's all about. It is one of those issues that they just can't avoid. The larger people are able to bring their product in at a lower price. They often have advantageous costs when it comes to importing. And it's the small to medium enterprise that really, really suffers. But there is a way around it, and there is a way to make sure that you are focusing on the areas that are really important in order to bring your business the advantages it needs. So without any further ado, let's welcome Ryan Neal, who's the Group Head of Procurement for the Impact Group. Ryan, welcome to High FM.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. All good. Nice to have you again.
Thank you.
Great. Have I sort of put it out correctly?
Recording there? In progress.
Small and medium enterprises tend to have challenges when they compete with the big players.
Yeah, 100%. You framed it correctly. I mean, we know that small businesses, it's a really competitive market for any business to try and get into large corporates or industrial supply chains. It's very, very hard. And they make it much harder for themselves sometimes by not really having a good pricing strategy and doing the research around the marketplace, what's going on out there. And sometimes, you know, they focus too much on making profit very, very quickly, and they don't really think about the longer term effects and the affordability of the potential client. And ultimately ends up meaning that they don't actually get the business in the first place. So I think having the right strategy up front to be able to try and compete with the big guys, making sure that you're transparent, working with the company that you're trying to do business with is really important.
Ryan, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, I remember you many years ago, there was the corner cafe, and now we've got the garage shops. There's no ways that you're going to pay the same price at one of those stores as you're going to pay at a Macro or maybe a larger Pick and Pay. Let's, you know, ignore for the moment that a lot of the garage shops are chains and they have group buying capacity. A small person, what is often referred to in South Africa, a spaza shop, trying to just get by, you know, price is the bottom line. He can't sell it below that price because then there's no profit in it. What are the areas of pricing that a small business needs to be careful of in order to remain competitive?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, you need to make sure that you understand your market. If you're going out there to compete with a Macro or a big business, you're always going to struggle. So I think understanding that your business needs to be able to compete where it's strong and not necessarily try and compete with the big players. Convenience is one of those things, you know, to be able to sell to a convenience market where maybe a bigger shop is further away and you've got the opportunity to try and corner a small piece of the market for yourself. Also having differentiators, you know, we always say when we deal with small businesses, what is different about your product or what is different about your service? What can you bring to us that means more to us than money? So I think those things are really important. And working with business strategy coaches under ESD programs, such as the ones that we run, are really important to help you focus better on what's important, how you can get a piece of the pie to make sure that you can go out there and do business in a market at the moment, which is dominated by large entities.
Just to let everybody know, ESD stands for Enterprise Supply Development. And Ryan, not that I'm in your business, but you put it out in your press release, and that's how I worked out. Ryan, I must just apologize. My camera, for example, is not, is not coming on at the moment. I know it's difficult to stare at a bank screen when you're talking. The bottom line is that what you do say is that by fostering a culture of knowledge sharing and support, these programs enable SMMEs to navigate market dynamics with confidence. Just flesh it out a little bit. And maybe I'm stuck in a mindset where I just feel that how does a small business, you know, compete with a big business where they just don't have the depth in order to do that?
Look, I think, you know, as I mentioned already, it's about understanding your market. So understanding the type of clientele that you're looking to approach. And, you know, I'll give an example. Often small businesses are a lot more innovative. They move quickly. So they're able to make decisions because you haven't got these layers and layers of management and decision makers there. So when you sit down with an entrepreneur, someone that's in a business that, you know, we always refer to the two different types of SMME, one being a business that has a revenue of under 10 million annually, which we class as a exempt micro enterprise, and one that has a revenue of between 10 and 50 million annually, which we class as a QSC, which would be a qualifying small enterprise. And these businesses tend to be very shallow in their management structure, and you're generally dealing with the owner of the business. So to be able to sit down and have a conversation and say, look, this is an area of our supply chain where we potentially need a solution. And you've got a product or you've got a service, and at this stage, you're outpriced. But these are the things that we can do with you, which could assist you. I'll give you an example, Avi, to try and put it into context. We work with a sauce supplier that makes sauces. And of course, their price is out compared to the big guys. You know, you can go out there and you can buy mayonnaise from any one of the big players out there. But a lot of companies want to have their own taste profile and their own consistency in product. So we worked with a small entrepreneur to develop the product that we wanted. And we were then able to do things like buy the oil for them. So as a big player out there, we're buying liters and liters, hundreds of thousands of liters of oil a month. So we're able to buy oil for them and sell it to them at no margin. They are then able to develop a product for us that we want, and that is the profile that we want, and then sell us back the product at a competitive price because we're able to assist them to purchase the original ingredients at a better price in the beginning. So that's how enterprise and supply development support can work, where we're able to help them to help ourselves.
Ryan, you just sort of, I feel like I've just been hit across the side of the head, because there was something obviously about supply chain management that I've never really understood. And that's, I suppose, is where a company like yours, where the Impact Group would come to the party. Instead of having to develop your own sources, you can rather partner with people who've got a great product, but don't have the buying capacity to buy the volumes they would need to get the discount. I mean, there's an American company, I'm sure you're aware of it, called Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's is just a phenomenal company. It's a household name. It's a family-owned business. But I think that's exactly their model, is that they are more than happy to partner with well-run smaller businesses, but assist them in the larger purchases that would push their prices above and would make it a little bit more difficult. Ryan, we've obviously hit a nerve here, because people are asking about consumer goods when it comes to electronics. They're saying that, you know, the days of buying electronics when you bought a fridge or a stove for life have come and gone. And a lot of the stuff really needs to be assembled here in South Africa. But the cost of doing it is not cost effective because China does it cheaper. Okay, that's a bit blunt, but yes, that's, I think, the point that they're making. You know, Ryan, on a similar note, I remember helping a company with a pension fund, and we were about to, I went to a meeting, and the guy looked very down, and he said, look, in front of me, I've got an envelope of 80 names of the 100 staff that need to be retrenched from this assembly plant because we're now buying the stuff directly from China. And I'll let you know what we're going to do tomorrow. And when I called him, he said, I actually can't help you anymore because my name was on that list of 100. We don't need a factory manufacturer and a supervisor anymore, because we just need people to move boxes. And that was heartbreaking, how 80 people are losing their jobs simply because they could land the stuff cheaper here than they could do it. How does enterprise get involved maybe to help an organization like that?
You know, I think it's really about teaching the people that have the control to understand how the regulations in BE are there to assist us. So, you know, a quick crash course is that under the Enterprise and Supply Development Regulation, a large business or a business of revenue above 50 million a year must put 1% of its net profit after tax to assisting small businesses. Before they enter your supply chain, and 2% of their net profit after tax into supporting small businesses when they are in your supply chain. Now, just as an example, big corporates would have millions and millions of rands to be able to support these small businesses. And I think what's important is that a collaboration between many businesses would mean that there are a lot of funds available in order to supply a small business that manufactures with some support. So they maybe can import parts of product as opposed to importing finished product. And they could put them together. But if lots of business collaborated, and I'll use paper as an example, you know, let's call it paper cups. We're engaging with a client at the moment, a supplier at the moment that is providing paper cups, but they instead of importing them, they're making them locally. So many companies together, we're all getting involved to make sure that they can get the support they need in regards to volume, so as it makes financial sense to them and to us.
Fantastic. Grant, as you can see, we need to run to the shops quickly. Let's quickly have a quick ad break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Kai FM. It's 22 minutes past 12. And on the line with me is Ryan Neal. Ryan is the Group Head of Procurement for the Impact Group. Ryan, really what we are talking about now, Craig, thank you. I see the live read. I'm just waiting for my phone to rebute. Ryan, when it comes to big business, there's often this misconception that big business is there to dominate and big business is there to make sure that little business coming in doesn't have an opportunity to raise its head above the parapet. Your business model is totally different. Am I correct in saying that your business model is very simply, the more we help other businesses to be successful by leveraging on the size that we have, the better it's going to be for everyone?
Yeah, I think that it's important to understand that in every business's supply chain, there's a requirement for big business. So it's not that big business mustn't be there, because there's always an upside. But when it comes to small business, we understand that there's innovation involved. We understand that there's quick quick business decisions, flexibility, lots of other advantages to working with small businesses. As an example, over the last 7 years, our supply chain has grown to about 45%. We work with small businesses. Now, one of the other reasons it's important to work with small businesses is that they create a link to communities. So it means that when you work with local small businesses, they're employing from local communities. They're creating local employment. It means that the local economy starts to grow. So by supporting small businesses, you really are making sure that the money is staying within the country. It's going to the people that need it. And ultimately, it's helping to grow the economy and to get rid of, you know, some of these problems that we're having at the moment in the country with major unemployment and skills. You know, if you're able to employ people in a small business that are coming in to work with big businesses, we as big business are able to support with resources, with teaching, with training, and we're able to then employ people and give them the skills that they need in order to do the jobs that we require them to do our job, ultimately.
Ryan, I've got another message here, and I see the name on the phone and the name of the person writing it are two different people. So it's obviously someone mentoring somebody else or helping them out. The gist of the message is that as a young Black entrepreneur, I have come up with ideas that I've gone to people with, and I have been told that they are impossible, only to find that the idea is up and running with them in a short space of time. And to paraphrase, I've been left out in the cold. How do I ensure that does not happen with your guest?
Well, I think that that's, you know, that that's the nature of business ultimately, and you've got to try and protect yourself against that. If you have a product, you've got to make sure you do the right patents, you get the right advice, legal advice, in order to protect your product. And the way to do that is, you know, it's expensive to do that. I understand. So to get on an ESD program, Enterprise and Supply Development Program, with a business like Impact Group, where we have legal people who will be able to give you the right advice at no cost, you know, and to have a mentor that will say, these are the things you need to do in order to get to the point where, you know, you can't, you're not going to have your products or your ideas stolen. But I think it's really important for any small business that you should never underestimate the impact that a business coach can have on your business. And by joining or by researching the type of company that you can get onto their ESD program, and they can give you the kind of support that we provide to our entrepreneurs, I think is really, really important, because it does help to deal with those kind of situations. And again, Avi, you know, as an example, you can sit on an enterprise and supply development program because you think it's access to market for you, but you're getting nothing out of it. Where when you decide that you're going to approach a company, you should have researched them. You need to ask them the right questions. You know, how many beneficiaries, how many of your entrepreneurs have graduated into your supply chain over the last 5 years? How much of your small supplier development spend is going into these small suppliers? How much spend every year are you spending with small suppliers that you graduated out of your program? This will give you an indication then of whether those businesses are doing it properly or whether they're simply just trying to tick boxes or steal other people's ideas.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crucial. It always takes two sides of the coin to understand how things work. Ryan, coming back to Impact itself, South Africa has been through a very tumultuous time. We had the 10 years where we felt the country really didn't grow. We then had a change of government, only to find out the elections that there's a lot of people out there who felt that those were really good years. I mean, let's vote the same person back in and give him another opportunity. How do you guys feel poised at the moment when you see all that?
Look, it's always difficult to operate a business in a country where the growth of the country is not there. And it is very, very hard, especially if you're a small business as well. We as a big business, you know, we believe that our future is in our hands. Our decisions are ours to make. We understand what's happening in the country, as does everybody else. And, you know, we need to make the right decisions and put the right strategies in place in order to do the right things for our business and try and do the right things by our country and by the people. And I think that we've been very successful at that. In a time when the country has seen a slump in growth, you know, single digit growth and below, I think that, you know, a lot of companies have suffered. We've seen growth during that time. And I think that comes down to strong leadership and understanding the environment that we operate in and really trying to do the right things by the country. You know, we run an enterprise and supply development program, not just to benefit our supply chain. You know, we can go out there and work with any big supplier and get the right pricing. But ultimately, we make the right choices to go out there and do enterprise and supply development the right way to support the communities and support the local entrepreneurs that are out there, to try and make sure that we're creating employment and growth within this country, which ultimately will come back to us, because the suppliers that we have today may well become our customers in the future.
Correct. So that's exactly the business model, sorry, that you've used, and that has really has a proven track record for you. And ultimately, I suppose everybody has a way of looking at things, and it's your approach, your consistency, and your being able to sort of filter out the noise, so to speak, that allows you to go forward. Talking about that, what areas do you as a company feel are the major growth areas in the next 5 to 10 years in your specific scope of business?
You know, we've had this discussion a lot. Obviously, every year you've got your strategy for the current year, a 3-year and a 5-year plan, and the same questions are asked every year. And we said that the pie doesn't necessarily get bigger. It's about the share of that pie. Uh-huh. You know, an industry as such as ours that we're in, we recognize the size of that industry. It's really about what can we as a business go and do differently, which allows us to take a bigger piece of that business. So, you know, there's so much foreign business within the country. There's so much local business within the country. And our clients could be anyone. You know, the type of industry we're in, we operate in the space of facilities management, where we assist you with your building. We operate in the space of catering, where we feed your staff, cleaning, hygiene, pest control. And ultimately, every single business within the country could be a client of ours. And our intention is to go out there and say, right, what can we do differently? How can we empower our business and others around us to make sure that we continue to grow that piece of pie that we have and make a difference at the same time? It's not just about what we can do for ourselves. It's about what we can do to make a difference out there and try and impact everybody we touch every day.
An interesting question has just come back from somebody who says who calls himself business owner in the Delstrom area. He says, one thing we've seen is the collapse of the South African railway network system and the reliance on road for transport of coal to the coast. This has a huge impact on the efficiencies of the road. Has Impact ever been contacted by government and asked for assistance in areas where they could add efficiencies? I don't know. Ryan, what do you feel? Yeah.
So look, it doesn't really fall directly into our space. While we are moving product around the country on a daily basis, we do it with third-party logistics and often with local suppliers. But it is certainly an area of the country's problems that need to be solved, because we're seeing with the problems with the railways are causing delays that then happen at the ports, and delays at the ports are stopping us from exporting the products out of the country that are bringing in a large amount of the money that comes back into the local economy. So this stuff does need to be dealt with. We as Impact Group are probably not the right people to get involved directly in that. But, you know, we are touching base all the time with the companies that we work with. And I think it's really important that private business understands that we can't just sit back and expect government to deal with all the issues. We've got to get involved. If we want to see a difference and we want to see a change, private business also needs to get involved, because there's a lot of money that sits in the private sector. And, you know, if we just sit back and say government must deal with it, we're going to see problems. So the controls and the operational efficiencies that the private sector brings would be of massive benefit if government worked with the private sector more closely and gave them an opportunity to help solve some of the problems that we're seeing in the country at the moment, especially those around the roads and the railways.
Great. Ryan, a very pertinent question just came through. How does one get involved with your apprenticeship or pupilship? I think your mentorship program.
So look, we easily found. We can go onto the internet, onto Google or any other search engine, and type in impactgroup.co.za, and you'll get to our website. On our website, you'll see a section that talks to people and enterprise and supply development, and that's a way to get directly to me and my team. That sending through a company profile, some questions that you might have, and we will then happily engage with you. What we do is put our entrepreneurs through a bit of a onboarding process, where we need to understand that you are a business that we feel that we can work with, that we do believe that within a period of time we could integrate you into our supply chain. So we are very thorough with our beneficiaries that we bring on board. And the main reason for that is that we do have an intention to spend money with small businesses. So there's no point onboarding small businesses that you have no intention of doing business with. So we're very thorough about the type of businesses and the type of entrepreneur themselves that we deal with. You know, we have a very good track record. We graduate about 5 businesses a year into our supply chain from our beneficiary pool and our ESD program. So again, you know, I think in the last year, we spent upwards of, I don't want anyone to talk finances, but over 43% of our supply chain is with small businesses, and 24% of that sits with businesses that have graduated out of our program. So we're very proud of it, but we're always open to engage with new suppliers, new small businesses, new entrepreneurs, and see if there's a space for them in our program and what we can do to help them be successful and come on a journey with us.
Ryan, there's just one more question that's come through, but before it does, I just need to let everybody know that the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra's Winter Symphony season is sure to warm the hearts of all music lovers during these months. Taking place at the Lind Auditorium on Thursday evening from the 30th of May to the 20th of June, this season features virtuoso conductors and soloists. Season tickets are available at info@jpo.co.za. Single concert tickets are available through Quicket. And then also to let you know that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional help to help you manage your health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure and cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside any Dis-Chem pharmacy. Better health starts with you. So hop along and get that sorted out. Ryan, the last question that's sort of come through here is, I suppose, a valid question. I would hope by this stage, though, the questions will be fewer and fewer. But the question basically says, I don't have any BEE criteria. I'm a single owner. I don't have any BEE standing. Am I eligible to apply?
No, absolutely. And I think that there's a misconception around the regulation. Often, you know, we spoke earlier about the training around what it can do for you. And, you know, if you are a South African, there's a space for you within our supply chain, and there's a space for you out there under the BEE regulations that are there. Ultimately, if your revenue of your business is below 10 million, any business has BEE credentials. So if your revenue is below 10 million a year, you are automatically an exempt micro enterprise, which means if you have 100% black ownership, you can be a level one. If you're more than 51% black owned, you can be a level two. And if you have no black ownership at all, or less than 51%, you will be a level four. So any small business owner that thinks that because they don't have black ownership within their business or they don't tick certain boxes, it's not correct. As long as you are an officially registered business with a business bank account, you can still take part in programs like ours, and you still have a part to play. Like I say, go and have a look at the regulation and understand what a SMME is, small, medium, and micro enterprise, because you'll be very surprised that a lot of people think that if you don't have black ownership in your business, that ultimately you don't qualify. I mean, that is incorrect. You do qualify. You can be a level four EME, and businesses like that are still desirable to companies like Impact Group. So I think it's really, really important that, you know, people like myself, when we are on platforms that you've given us today, we make it clear that BE is for everyone. Enterprise and supply development is for everyone. You just need to approach the right type of companies like Impact Group that can assist you with enterprise and supply development, and make sure that they're giving you the knowledge to understand how it works for you. It's not just about having black ownership in your business. There's a lot more to it than that.
Fantastic. Ryan, as always, thank you so much. We're running out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and everything of the best. And I think most importantly, I personally just wish you guys huge success and growth, because that means that every year there are five new businesses partnering, mentoring with a really successful business, which means that they will be successful, which means in terms they will employ more people, they will pay more tax, and it's a win-win situation for everybody. Thank you so much.
Great, Abby. Thank you so much. And really great to be part of the show. Thank you.
Great. Craig, thank you so much for pushing the buttons. Thanks for keeping me on track. We'll be in touch with you next week.